surprised you're listening to The Beat?
No, I'm not surprised at anything. I don't want to answer any questions like that.
Chicago sports spoken here. This is The Beat on 720 WGN.
506. Hope you're having a great Saturday. He hasn't written for a week, and so we just know that Chicago has been deprived because I believe David Hall was on vacation. Rumor has it he might have been wearing a Speedo on a beach. That's what I heard, Harry. I don't know if that's true or not. And he joins us now on 720 WGN. David Hall, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us. Did you get a good tan?
Yeah, no, there was plenty of beach, no Speedo, Carm, and I would come off vacation to talk tennis in Wimbledon any day for you.
That is so incredibly – for the record, I love Roger Federer tomorrow, but don't count out Marin Cilic, who has the serve that can translate
well. Hold on, someone's at the door.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I mean, the Cubs and Sox make this blockbuster deal, and you're going to lead with Wimbledon.
Huge.
And I found out yesterday that Serena once tried to deposit a one. Did you hear this, D-Hawk? By the way, a pleasure to have you on, D-Hawk.
Thanks, Harry.
Did you hear Serena Williams try to deposit a $1 million check at the ATM?
What's wrong with that?
Did not know that, but, you know, I have not been paying that close attention to the news, as Carm pointed out. I've been off off a few days, a week, and plenty going on, though, and eager to get back at it.
Right. So, I mean, doesn't this trade look like both general managers are geniuses and that this trade is great for both teams?
No doubt. Look, we live in a society now where everybody wants to be a GM. We have, you know, from fantasy baseball, fantasy, every sport you can, you know, manipulate your own roster and compete with your friends and your coworkers and because everybody thinks that they know how to make the big trade, and everybody wants to tell their favorite team's executive how to act. And it never happens that the guys that you're trying to give advice take it. And in this case, both seem to have taken it. And Theo Epstein did what a lot of people have been urging him to do. It made a lot of sense for months now. I mean, I wrote back in early May, we put the big picture of Jose Quintana and broached the whole idea of him being traded to the Cubs, and that certainly wasn't, we weren't on an island there. And Rick Hahn's been getting, you know, free advice on Quintana's next suitor, trade him to the Cubs since November. Very seldom does it happen when executives act in a way that reflect, you know, the fan base and do something that is, you know, almost consensus, has a consensus of approval. And this is one of those rare trades. And it is win-win for both teams.
Well, let's give David Haw at least 2% credit for the deal going down. Because the last time you wrote David Haw was July the 8th, and you were taking a little bit of a curious glance at Theo Epstein, was saying that all the help that the Cubs needed was in that clubhouse. And you write here, but come on, he can't be serious. A guy as smart as Epstein can't really think the team that underachieved in the first half of the season needs no outside help to give the Cubs the best chance to defend their World Series title. So you didn't buy it. And he was doing his best, hey, we believe in you guys act, but he also, behind the scenes, obviously was working his Theo magic.
Didn't buy it, Carm. I think that was a case where Theo is perplexed by the Cubs' first half, maybe as anybody. Certainly he can explain it more eloquently than most of us. And I think he got in a case where, you know, being accessible to the media, he got in front of a bunch of microphones and reporters and didn't seem like he was having a great day. He was kind of cranky that day. And he said some things that I think were a little misleading. And maybe they were intentional and maybe they weren't. Maybe it was just, you know, the mood he was in. But it was ridiculous to consider that a guy as pragmatic and solution-oriented as Theo Epstein, he solves problems. He fixes situations. For him to sit there in the Cubs dugout that day and to suggest that the solution could be found within that clubhouse just did not add up for anybody that's paid attention since October 2011. So, yeah, I mean, I wrote that, and maybe it was a little bit of a gamble, but it wasn't really that risky of a thing to say if you've been paying attention to the way Theo Epstein operates all these years.
David, if I go player for player with the Cubs and the Brewers, it's very hard to find a Brewer that I would really want to take over the Cub at that position. And your paper, the Tribune, had a whole thing about all these, you know, bookmaking joints still have the Cubs as prohibitive favorites. do you believe the Cubs, 5.5 games out on July 15th, do you believe they will, in fact, win the division over the Milwaukee Brewers?
Yeah, I do. I mean, and that's not, you know, I mean, you know, you guys know I'm not like a homer or a fan or a cap or anything. I mean, I think that
Slam.
You look at it objectively, and they still have the experience of winning in October. And that's not just the last year, but it's the last 2 years. You know, they have a team that, you know, maybe their pitching staff is a little tired, but I think the Quintana trade suggests that there's going to be a little bit of a boost, a resurgence, a revival, if you will. Last night was, you know, typical of the first half of the season where, you know, you gave up a lot of runs, and but they won, and they relied on the home run. I do think, Harry, that the Brewers are going to come back to earth a little bit. I do think the Cubs are going to hit their stride. Not basing that just on the fact that, you know, fandom or anything. I just think experience, and I think that is going to kick in at some point that you go with the teams that have done it before. There's a lot of baseball left to be played. It's been very frustrating for people to follow. It's been very kind of inconsistent, you know, to write about, because you think that you have this things, you know, identified as problem areas and things are going to go the way you think, and you write and you talk about, and then they make you look like a fool. So it has been frustrating for everybody, but I do think that by the end of this month, and maybe there's one more, you know, consequential trade in the Cubs, that they will get a team together that's going to probably, you know, might take until mid-September, might take until late September. What great drama that will be. And all you'll be missing is a Bears 0-4 start.
Okay, that's interesting, because I think they need to play well in these next 2 weeks, so they will make that additional move. And one name that's been out there, somewhat surprisingly to me, is Kyle Schwarber going to Detroit for one of their young pitchers, perhaps. So what do you make of those rumors?
Well, first of all, I don't think they have to play well to be in the buying mode, okay? I reject any suggestion that they would even contemplate being a seller for the reasons we already discussed. The Cubs are not selling, okay? The window is wide open. This is one of those years in the windows wide open. They're going for it, and they should. And if they don't, we should kill them for it. Not literally, but with criticism.
Well, but it,
okay?
But
there's no argument, Carm, before you go down that road, that I'll buy that says the Cubs should be in selling mode if they struggle in the next 2 weeks.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying there's a level of aggressiveness that they might be willing to do in 2 weeks if they close the gap versus if they're sitting here 7 out. I think there's a different mind. I'm not saying they're going to sell. They're clearly not going to.
Yep.
But I do think they'll be more aggressive if they close the gap. That's what I'm trying
okay,
to
say. That's fair. I think they should be as aggressive regardless of the record. They think they should be aggressive from now until midnight and July 31st. Okay, that aside, they're not. I would be more surprised by any. I was not surprised by the Quintana trade necessarily. I think it was shocking that it actually happened. But I'd be even shocked to a greater degree if they traded Schwarber because of, again, everything that Theo Epstein has indicated, and this isn't just him bluffing on an intention. You know, Kyle Schwarber, that's a relationship. That's a commitment. I think that is, to me, a little bit deeper than just saying, well, we're going to find the solution in our clubhouse, and very vaguely and generally saying that we believe in our team and we're going to put those guys on notice. That was one thing. This is another. The relationship business is something he excels in very well. And I think that would, to me, he has made whatever assurances, or it would almost betray everything that he has stood for or said about his relationship with a young guy that he's identified with in Schwarber to trade him now. So I don't think that's going to happen.
The star of the Ball State Cardinals defense, David Haugh, visiting for a few more minutes with Mark Carmen and myself on The Beat on Radio 720 WGN.
And a quick interjection there, Harry. September 2nd at Champaign, Ball State, Illinois. Be there. Love you, Smith.
Let's go Cardinals.
I'll win. Jason Hayward last night was phenomenal. First time up, hits a rope to left. Then he crushes one onto Utah Street, only it's not spelled like the state. But the best thing he did all night was that catch in that crazy corner, the right field corner in foul territory. You know, I've always been an advocate that Baez should play every day because of his defense. I think I want Hayward in right, not center, but I want Hayward in right every day. Do you think that he is that good? He deserves to play every day.
No doubt about it. And you get your money's worth finally. That's the only corner in right field that demands an usher for the right fielder. And that's crazy, isn't it? He had wits. You go this way, then you go that way.
It's nuts.
And he made it look effortless. And that's what he's paid well to do. He should be playing every day. It's almost ridiculous. And it's a very good point. And it's a salient point in question, Harry. But think about how silly it does sound because of the guy who's making what he's making to think that we have to say that he deserves to play every day. And yet, because of last season,
right.
you kind of have to reaffirm that.
Right.
They're much better with him playing the way that he is now. And I think that kind of does allow Schwarber to be treated and handled the way that he was, and which is a smart thing. Send him down, let him come back, let him minimize expectations, let Schwarber play against right-handers. You know, I think that Hayward helps you defensively, again, with a team that needs, you know, to every ounce of defense this year more than ever. And also, I think that, you know, he's showing a little bit more authority at the plate, like the swing is finally coming around. So he could be a big part of this, and I expect him to be a big part of this. And if he's not a big part of this,
then
I think the Cubs are in trouble.
See, and I would – nobody could tell me that if the Cubs could go back in time, with even the speech included and his better play this year, that they'd do the Hayward deal again. There's no way you're paying this guy mid –
Carm.
David.
They're doing it again. They do it again.
No
every
way.
Day. Every day. Carm, who is going to get up and talk to that team in that way, in that weight room? Carm, this is the stuff of legends. Come on.
Okay, if you're gonna boil it all down to the speech, you have a good argument. I think he's worth double the $184 million for the speech alone.
You know what they did to his speaking fees forever though?
Okay, fine. He gave the speech. They won the World Series. It ended a 108-year drought. He's worth the money. It's still painful for me to see. And I don't even know if I even want Jake Arrieta back. But the fact that they can't afford necessarily elite pitching like a Johnny Cueto because they're paying Hayward makes me nauseous on some level. But I'll just remind myself that he gave the speech. He gave the speech. He gave the speech.
The speech aside, you were at a point in time as an organization where You established legitimacy by getting John Lester. He legitimized your pitching staff and the fact that you were serious about contending. And he got Joe, you know, the Joe Maddon factor, and he legitimized that idea. When you went out and got Jason Hayward, it was that you were not content to just get to a certain point in this progression.
True.
It was you were going to spend X amount of dollars, whatever it took, the blank check to prosperity. And that was what he represented. He had to be there. Even though he stunk, up until his oratorical skill was the most memorable thing of 2016, that was worth every penny.
And that's true, too. It was. We're going from here to the next level, to the World Series level. We're signing the premium outfielder in his prime at 26. These guys don't become available, all that.
And if you haven't seen it, you must check out the Lego parody of that Game 7 of the World Series, which includes Jason Hayward giving the pep talk during the rain delay. Have you seen that, D-Haw?
I have seen that. It's been a few months now, Harry, but I recommend the Lego movie as well.
That's so great. Now, there's so many things to talk about because we haven't had the chance to chat for so long, and I want to ask you about, I loved your Harbaugh visiting the Pope stuff, you know, three yards, you know, and a chimney full of smoke. And I love the Blackhawk convention. It's going to last, you know, longer than the Blackhawks did in the playoffs. But Clay Matthews Jr. this week said that he hopes the new Bears quarterback will pad his stats like Jay Cutler did. The man is retired. The man is in a broadcasting booth, and Clay Matthews Jr. is still going after him. You know,
what's he think he is? A member of the Chicago media?
I mean,
there's their guys in town who still take shots at Jay Cutler. I mean, look. It's tired. It's old. He's above that. People are beyond that. Move on. Yeah, everybody should move on. Jay Cutler was an easy target. He was Chicago's pinata for a long time. And he's in the booth now. And he's probably going to be very good at what he does. Get used to it, okay? Jay Cutler does not have to be your target of your scorn anymore. Anybody. The more Jay Cutler receives criticism after the fact, after his last down in Chicago, the more it says about the person doing the criticizing than it does Jay Cutler.
No, Dan Hampton thinks they would have won 4 or 5 Super Bowls with them.
No, come on, don't put me in that category. I'm not going that far, Carl. Okay?
I didn't think you were. I just want
to
name.
I have to land in the middle ground here, guys. Okay, that's ridiculous too. I love Hamp, but come on, 4 Super Bowls?
Yeah, it was aggressive. There's no doubt. Hey, just back to baseball for 1 second. Yeah. For your view of Rick Hahn and the White Sox right now, what would you say?
Has a general manager of a fourth-place team ever won Executive of the Year? This guy has done everything that he said he was going to do the minute they decided to go down this road. Sale, Eaton, Quintana, 3 guys, 11 prospects, best farm system in baseball, doing the best job of any executive in baseball. At this moment, I think the Sox have to be really as happy as any last-place team can be.
And you know, it's amazing because they were like the worst minor league system in baseball. And just with 3 moves, the guy has gone from worst to first.
He's hitting home runs.
It shows you what commitment can do, Kerry. You commit to go down a path, and you go down that path, and look what happens. It's like if you look at your garage and you still let it, you know, throw one more thing in there. Oh, it doesn't matter. I mean, it's for storage. And then all of a sudden you say, well, we're going to clean the garage. And you commit to cleaning the garage. It's going to look really good. And you're going to get really organized, and it's going to look really efficient. But until you commit to it, it's just a bunch of stuff laying around. The Sox committed to a direction. They've got the best farm system in baseball. Can't wait till 2020.
It's going to be Quintana on the mound versus Eloy, 2021 Game 7 World Series, Chicago upside down. It could happen.
How many World Series will the Cubs have won by then, Carm?
I'll say they've 4. Won one more. Just give me one more.
And you 4. Know, and you know why?
Why?
Hayward.
If Jason Hayward gets a big hit in the playoffs this year or any year, I will remember this conversation. And
he can hit 0.17 and just give him the microphone.
Go, Jay Hay. It was an amazing moment last year. We'll always remember the speech. David Haugh, you're the best. Appreciate you, and welcome back to town. Hope you had a great vacation.
Guys. Thanks a lot. I did. Take care.